Please be seated. It seems odd that here in the Easter season, the lectionary takes us back to the Last Supper. But that's where we find ourselves today. This past Wednesday, at our noon Eucharist and Bible study, Father Tom read the Gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I don't think so. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Now, wait a minute. That's not what it said. But that is what Father Tom said. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I don't think so. You know, you have to keep an eye on that man. But I knew what he meant. And the truth is, I don't think so either. This is one of those examples where the good old King James Version does a better job. In my house are many mansions. Mansions, right? And besides, that's the way most of us were introduced to this text. Mansions are bigger. Mansions are better. Mansions are grander dwelling places. I don't think so. But there's even more to it than that. The only other place where Jesus uses the term in my Father's house is also in the Gospel of John, where he refers to the temple, the most holy of Jewish places, where heaven and earth meet, and where people are in this unique relationship with God. The word translated mansion or rooms or dwelling places, it simply implies a greater permanency. It's the noun form of the verb to abide, to stay. And the promise, I think, that Jesus is making here is less about a particular place called heaven with rooms or mansions or houses, and more about relationship. A continued relationship with the divine, a relationship that will carry on even after death, but a relationship that begins right now. At our Wednesday evening service, we continued with this train of thought. It may come as a surprise to some of you that we actually have two Wednesday worship opportunities, but we do. And on Wednesday evening, we talked about what that mansion might look like. I told the group that when I was a child, I knew what a mansion looked like. No doubt in my mind. You see, I grew up in a relatively wealthy part of Birmingham, Alabama, but my family wasn't wealthy. I grew up in a section of town that originally had been developed as low-income housing. But somehow that plan didn't work, and the houses were offered just for regular sale. And one of those houses is where I grew up. Yet we were surrounded by wealth. It was all around us. And in my mind, a mansion was a place that had stairs. And upstairs? Now that was pretty big. But a house with an upstairs and a downstairs, now that was a mansion. Had nothing to do with square footage. It was all about the stairs. And of course, as I grew, my idea of a mansion evolved. But it still begs the question, what does your mansion look like? What does your mansion look like? But be careful. Be careful, because if you get too literal about the whole thing, you're going to miss the point. It may be comforting to picture a place, a glorious place in heaven, in a life to come, something of a reward for staying the course. But Jesus didn't speak of the kingdom of heaven in that way. Jesus didn't speak of the kingdom of heaven as being something to come. Instead, he spoke of the kingdom of heaven as being already here, right now, today. This very moment. And it is a kingdom that we must be in the process of building right now. today, this very moment. And if you think about it, why would we want it to be any other way? There's an old story, I know many of you have heard in some version or another, but of a man who dies and goes to heaven. And evidently, when we arrive in heaven, we are treated to a grand tour by St. Peter. The man and St. Peter first pass by this glorious structure. It's a tall cathedral-like building. It's huge with stained glass windows and angels carved into the stonework. People are quietly filing into the front door as music from a beautiful pipe organ emanates from within. "Wow," the man says, "what a beautiful building. Who are those people?" "Well, those people," St. Peter says, "are the Catholics. They're getting ready to have high mass." As they continue along, though, they pass a rather large structure that looks much like a gym. The leaders, mostly men, all seem to have goatees. But the amazing thing are the tables lining the building with casseroles as far as the eye can see. "Those are the Methodists," St. Peter says. "They're really good at casseroles." And next they pass an elegantly appointed room with tasteful music being played and what appears to be a cocktail party. "Let me guess," the man says, "Episcopalians." "Exactly," St. Peter says. And finally, they come to a modest but very large brick building. And people are quietly milling about, sipping coffee. "Who are they?" the man says. "Shh," says St. Peter. "Those are the Baptists. They think they're the only ones here." "In my Father's house are many mansions." We can choose to be simplistic in our understanding of God's promises, and there is a certain sense of comfort there. But in doing so, we run the risk of being as baffled as Jesus' disciples were. Or we can find the joy of understanding that construction on those mansions has already begun and just waiting for us to lend a hand. It's the idea that the kingdom of heaven is now, not something we merely wait for. It's a promise that whatever happens in this life, we will abide with Christ and Christ with us. It's a promise that the work of Jesus is not over. Who Jesus was and what he did continues in the risen Christ. And what we do and build in our lives will also live on as part of the risen Christ. It's not going to be finished in our lifetime. Nor are we building it on our own. But we, every single one of us, are a unique and critical part of the building. And those mansions under construction are less a place than they are a way of life. It's an understanding the disciples couldn't get. They thought seeing was believing, but they had it all backwards, because it is in believing where we most clearly see. And in that believing, we can come to know that we are already housed by God, fed by God, carried by God. We already have a foot in that place Jesus prepared for us, if we'll only look around and look within and listen. And most importantly, we have a hand in shaping what that mansion might look like, brick by brick, stone by stone, in a place where heaven and earth meet. And amazing things happen there. Amazing things. And a better place is no longer merely a hope upon our death. Instead, it is something we can help shape even now. It is in that believing where we dare to think that the world can be better, where we help build that kingdom piece by piece through our expressions of love and integrity and forgiveness and acceptance and selflessness and gratitude and graciousness. And yes, sometimes the world's going to throw stones, but Jesus never promised a safe and trouble-free life for those who followed him. Instead, the promise is what we build is never going to be built alone. So what does your mansion look like? God love you. Amen.